This morning's reading comes from Luke chapter 13, starting at verse 31. A few minutes later, some Pharisees said to him, "Get out of here if you want to live, because Herod Antipas wants to kill you." Jesus replied, "Go tell that fox that I will keep on casting out demons and doing miracles of healing today and tomorrow, and the third day I will accomplish my purpose. Yes, today and tomorrow and the next day I must proceed on my way, for it wouldn't do for a prophet of God to be killed except in Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how often have I wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And now look, your house is left to you empty, and you will never see me again until you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Amen.
Thank you, Claire. I remember when I was 12 years old and I had not long started high school. I was awkward and still navigating that transition from primary school to high school. Now, I was friends with a boy from primary school, and he was like a really cool guy, you know, and quite a lot of the girls had a crush on him. Now, one Thursday, I got told that a girl in another class wanted to fight me because I was friends with this boy. I think she had a crush on him, that's what we'll say, and found our friendship threatening. And I got told that she was going to fight me after school on the Friday. Now, let me set the scene for you. I was 12 years old, and I was really short. I was actually shorter than what I am now, and that is short. And this girl that wanted to fight me, well, she was 12, but she was nearly 6 foot tall. And I'm not exaggerating, she was. She was like Goliath to me. And the thing was, I had never spoken to this girl before. So I couldn't understand why she had a problem with me because, you know, I'm like, how does she know me? You know, she doesn't know anything about me. Why would she want to fight me? I've not done anything. But because me and this boy she liked were just friends, you know, and we'd been friends since we were 8 years old. And I was a good girl, let me tell you. I hadn't been in a fight before. I might have, like, maybe kind of tussled with my brother and pinched him and maybe, you know, punched him. But I never had a fight with other people before. So when I found out that this girl was coming after me, you know, I panicked. You know, and it was like, this is going to happen, you know. And it wasn't just one person who told me that this was going to happen. Loads of people had came to tell me. It was like the buzz around our year at school. And so there was a real anticipation for this fight. And I was so frightened. I was so frightened. And I could feel the fear in the pit of my stomach. Like, because I had no chance against this giant of a girl. Like, no chance. And I remember I was staying with my wee gran that Thursday night, and I remember trying to think of ways that I could avoid fighting with this girl. And you know, I even considered like throwing myself down the stairs in order to injure myself so as that I wouldn't need to go to school. And I seriously considered running away. Now, these solutions might seem extreme, but to me, at age 12, you know, it was an extreme situation for someone wanting to fight me. I was terrified. But I thought better of injuring myself or running away and decided that I would just have to face whatever was going to happen. And I prayed. Like, I did go to, you know, I went to Sunday school and I was active in Sunday school in the girls' brigade, and I thought, God will help me here, you know. So I prayed to God for a miracle. to do something that shows that I wouldn't have to fight this girl that I didn't even know. And that Friday morning, I built up all the courage that I had in me, and I went to face my fate. I was a nervous wreck in all my classes in the morning. I couldn't concentrate. My heart was pounding. And sometimes I just felt that I couldn't breathe. And at lunchtime, my miracle happened. My friend from primary school, that boy that the girl was after, you know, had the crush on, he came up to me and told me that the girl didn't want to fight me anymore because he had intervened. He had actually told her that she didn't want to fight me because I was a great fighter. So he said, I was a brilliant fighter, and a complete lie, and that she couldn't and wouldn't win. And he must have made up some crazy stories of my fighting talents because she backed down and she said that she wouldn't fight me. And what a relief. Actually, I can feel it just now, the relief of that day. Have you ever felt afraid or threatened, friends? And if so, you will know that sensation of butterflies in your stomach, difficulty in breathing, heart pounding, and so on. Unfortunately, many of our fears are short-lived, unjustified, or calmed by those around us. But what if the threat is real? What then? You know, our bodies are geared either to fight or to flee. So if in danger and if we think we have no chance of surviving, we run. And have you ever been tempted to run away from something? And I think most of us have. Sometimes it is the wiser course than trying to face a danger that you just can't beat. In Luke 13, verses 31 to 35, Jesus is being warned by some Pharisees to run away and not to go to Jerusalem as Herod wants to kill him. Now, some commentators have said that this highlights that not all the Pharisees were against Jesus, that some wanted to help him, and that is why they warned Jesus that Herod wants to kill him. Others, though, say that these Pharisees might actually have been Herod's agents themselves, warning Jesus to leave, as after his experience with John the Baptist, Herod might not have wanted the murder of another person on his conscience. Others say that the Pharisees probably had their own agenda and were urging Jesus to leave, as they didn't want Jesus to go to Jerusalem and to fulfill his purpose. Whatever the truth, there were forces at work here to try and divert Jesus from God's plan. And there was real danger, but these forces were trying to divert him from what God needed Jesus to do. But Jesus is having none of it and bravely calls out King Herod. Jesus calls Herod a fox. Now, that might seem like nothing to us, you know, it's just a random insult. But to the Jews, the fox was a symbol of three things. First, it was regarded as the slyest of the animals. Secondly, it was regarded as the most destructive of animals. And thirdly, it was the symbol of a worthless and insignificant man. So to call Herod a fox is contemptuous, and it's actually really dangerous as well, because Jesus is saying that Herod is neither a great man nor a trustworthy man, and he has neither majesty or honour. And this would support the notion that these Pharisees warning Jesus had a connection with Herod. Jesus knows this, and knows that they'll carry his words back to Herod. You know, so that makes Jesus' words and actions even more brave. Throughout the land, Herod is known for his cunning and cruelty, but Jesus won't react to his threats. Advised to run, Jesus resolutely continues on his course because he is aware of a bigger plan that Herod cannot thwart. Jesus will not be swayed by fear. His priority, his core value, is to carry out his Father's purpose. Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. The casting out of demons and healing mean that Jesus will continue his ministry. There's no stopping him. Today, tomorrow, and the next day speaks of Jesus' faithful service despite the risks. But Jesus makes it clear that this will not last indefinitely. The use of this specific phrase, on the third day, immediately makes a link to his death and resurrection. And the Greek for the third day actually means in a short time, or at the end of a definite time, or both. Then Jesus will have reached his goal. It will be finished. And the Greek word used might indicate the end of his work in the region, or the completion of his work of redemption. What Jesus is saying is that he will complete the course that God has allotted him to do. God, not Herod, will determine when he is to die. God's divine plan will be fulfilled. He has an appointment with his destiny in Jerusalem, and he will go there no matter what. Jesus knows that this journey... A wee draft there. I know, it's, I don't know where it's coming from. Oh, it's the window. Yeah, I'll hold on to you. Jesus knows that his journey to Jerusalem will be a journey to his death. But he does not speak about it in terms of his own courage, nor as a scornfully fierce martyrdom to expose the corruption of Jerusalem. He would far rather gather the people to him to protect them. But they are not and will not be willing. While Herod is a fox, wily and dangerous, Jesus describes himself as a hen. Now, a rallying slogan such as I am lion, hear me roar is always popular. And we heard in one of our songs about Jesus as a lion. But how many of us would rally to I am a hen, see me gather? But actually, there are stories told of how, when threatened by fire, a mother hen gathers her brood under her, and the hen's protecting wings cover her chicks, helping them to survive while she herself dies. A metaphor perhaps for us who, under the shelter of the outstretched arms of Jesus on the cross, are saved. We cannot doubt that Jesus feared the coming crucifixion in Jerusalem, but he would not run away. And it was love for us and his Father that he kept going when times got really dangerous and really tough. Sometimes our fears paralyze us, and it can be difficult to stay focused on God, focused on the plan that he has shared for each one of us and for our lives. Focused as well on the plans that we have for our church. And it can be difficult when we are surrounded by fear and fearful voices to keep focused on God's vision and the task that he has set for us. Now, the past couple of weeks, I've attended a number of meetings about the Presbytery mission plan. And over the coming wee while, you'll hear more about this. But let me just say, there are lots of fearful voices because the Church of Scotland's General Assembly is requiring all presbyteries to significantly reduce the number of ministries within each of the presbyteries. and this is going to happen in Glasgow. And the time frame that to create this plan is also super fast. So there's this, a sense that there's people building themselves up to a frenzy. You know, there's a lot of fear about, you know, because they want the plans in place for the end of June. And actually, it was after a couple of the meetings, I actually did get a bit upset myself and I was angry because I'm thinking, I've just arrived in White Inch. I'm only here 3 months and it is just 3 months. You know, God gave me a vision for White Inch and I know what he is asking me to do. You know, and the focus whenever I came here was just to get to know everybody, to get to know the area. You know, but all this talk of Presbytery Mission Plan and the fear surrounding it, the reduction in ministries, you know, there was the threat that it could, like, derail me, you know, derail my focus, especially going to meetings and hearing people strategizing. You know, it made me think that, actually, I'm coming into a bit of a boys' club here, you know. People are already networking and cooking up plans. You know, there's like a political agenda here with a focus on finance and buildings and retention of jobs. You know, like not but to maybe focusing on God. And like me, I'm feeling a wee bit on the outside of this. You know, I've just arrived. I don't have the networks. I don't understand all the politics of Glasgow Presbytery yet, never mind the actual area. And so I've spent a lot of time this week praying into this, praying for God's guidance and protection and the vision for us here at White Inch to see the opportunities and not to be afraid of anything that comes our way. And so me and Claire, we went to a cluster meeting yesterday with churches in our area, and I have to say the fear really shifted. Because they're in this area in which, you know, there are areas which we can work together with their neighbours, where we can share our resources and our talents. There is a willingness to work together for God's kingdom. But I think only if we keep the focus on God and what God wants, you know, and there will be opportunities for us to work in partnership so as that we can then share that love of the Lord wider, reaching the people who most desperately need to know the Lord's life-transforming love. And as we know, friends, there are so many people that need to know that, especially within our own community. And over the coming weeks and couple of months, because this is a fast-paced thing, you will be hearing more about the Presbytery Mission Plan and what that means for us here at White Inch. But we shouldn't and we mustn't fear it, friends, because God has a vision for us here at White Inch. He wouldn't have brought me here otherwise. He has a vision for us. God has a plan. And we need to trust that vision and that plan. And I'd like for us to be leaning right into that. So I would encourage you all, friends, to be praying into how God is asking us to reach out to those in our community who need to hear the good news. And also praying into what are our shared core values here at White Inch. And in a few weeks' time, there will be an opportunity for everybody here to share that with each other, to share what the Lord is saying to you, and for all of us to create together our vision for White Inch Church and what our mission plan is here for our community. And if you want to speak to me about it beforehand, please do. But I'm going to finish this with a poem by Dawn Dowling. Today, tomorrow, and the next day, to Jerusalem I'm bound. No threats or fears or rumours can make me turn around. I know what there awaits me, betrayal, death, and pain. My friends will all desert me, yet from a cross I'll reign. From that day, it's morrow and the next one, the darkness turns to bright. Death's power by God is broken with Easter's radiant light. Today, tomorrow, and the next day, you too will tread your road, but I will walk beside you. So let me bear your load. Let us pray, friends. We praise you, loving God, that you give each of us enough time to do all that we are called to do. Take from us the worry of hurry and enable us to delight in your presence with us and to share your joy with all who are in need of hope and friendship and courage. In Jesus' name we pray, thankfully and hopefully. Amen.